Blog Talk Radio.
American History Month. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. We'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. We are at near the end of our African American History Month. We don't want to forget about those heroes and sheroes, and we certainly want to acknowledge them. And we're coming on today with a special feature where we will be still talking about consumer education as well as focusing in on the black families as we always do. So this particular topic, we'll be talking about, can the African-American heritage and cultural diet be affecting the way they are prospering, affecting the way their health is developing? Can their diet be eating them to the point where they are physically ill? And if so, as we pose the problem, a poor diet, how can we prevent the African-American people from continuing on that path of their traditions of their fathers, of eating themselves into the grave, to now looking at alternative solutions to substitute for the foods that we used to eat as comfort foods? Yeah, that's right. We used to feel sorry for ourselves, and we used to eat the excess food off of other people's tables, and we dine well, and we learned how to prepare those foods so that they were etiquette and they became a delicatessen and they found their way in society. And society is now using fatback and they're using salt pork in a lot of recipes. But unfortunately, fatback is not healthy for us, neither is pork. And some of the white flours and sugars that we're using so much of in our baking is not good for us either. So we're going to be discussing that as well as talking about issues in the family of African Americans. As you know, we have been talking about family life education. So we're going to focus this around the dinner table. This is generally where most African Americans rally around the dinner table, be it for holidays, birthdays, or for bar mitzvahs, or what have you. We're going to talk about how we can control what goes into our stomach. I was once told that a man that controls your eating habit or controls what goes in your stomach can literally make more decisions for you than what you can think of. Because if you are hungry, sometimes you will go to the extreme to find foods to fill you up. But we want to make better choices now, and we want to make sure that we are looking at how these comfort foods might be causing high blood pressure, diabetes, as well as newfound other diseases such as mental health. There's a large portion of African America now suffering from bipolar disorder and mental health. And a lot of these conditions are coming from deficiencies of foods that we are not receiving in our diet, which is called the minerals and trace minerals. Now, I brought on a counterpart to talk with me, one of the in-house residents who will be speaking on the topic of health with me as well. I'd like to introduce him. And first of all, we'd like to say hello to you again and that our chat rooms are open. Will you please go in and make yourself at home? If you'd like to chat with us, you can do so by leaving your notes on the wall. But we prefer you dial that number. So lock that dial in at 646-478-0270 and do call in because we want your participation. We want your participation in getting involved in a number of things. We're also talking about developing ourselves around the continent so that we're not only talking about good, healthy eating, we're also doing something about it in the community. We're talking about developing co-ops in various aspects of the diaspora, and we're asking African Americans to call in to talk about their experiences in developing co-ops. And if they are interested in being one of our representatives in various different states who would like to explore the opportunity of developing co-ops, they're very beneficial, and they certainly address issues in the African-American community of inefficient qualities of food. Because we will find that in our co-ops, we collect foods such as natural foods, grains, and substance that will be healthy for our body. So we're going to talk about the co-ops, and we'd like for you to call in to give us your input as to you, if you think this is a good idea to develop a co-op. And once developing a co-op, how will you manage it? How will you pay for your membership? Can you use your service to pay for your membership if you don't have Filthy Lucre? Call in. Please do. Now, let me introduce my guest. He is my counterpart, Coach Obidiako. He actually supports me on the show, and he will be featured on the show throughout this month. I'd like to introduce you to Coach Obidiako, and we're going to get his input on the topic of healthy diets for African Americans who are clinging towards their heritage and filling their pots with traditional African food, which is killing them. Hold tight. Let me go and say hello to him. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you once again and remind you it is African American History Month. And during this month, we don't only just talk about Dr. Martin Luther King, but we talk about all our heroes and sheroes. And right after we say hello to our guest host today, we're going to go over and show you that. Hello, Mr. Obidiako.
Yes, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much for joining us, as you always do. And we are talking about your favorite subject, how the diet can act as it could be a weapon against us. So the knife and the fork, Dr. Lila Africa said that we could start a war with the knife and the fork. So I'd like to know from you, do you think that African Americans are killing themselves through using this comfort diet of our traditional heritage of African soul food?
Well, I don't think that's a traditional African diet, soul food. That the diet that we have here was given to us as a result of people throwing the scraps and the part that they was going to throw away into the garbage, and they gave it to us. And we, with our genius, we made meals out of it. We were able to take the slop as they was throwing away and cook it and season it and take the pig intestines and make them into a delicacy. That was the part that they were throwing away. As you know, the people who were supposed to be the epsilon of society was eating what we call high up on the hog. You know, they was eating the shoulders and the whatnot, and they was giving us the hoofs and the guts. So this is not an African diet that we're eating. This is purely a slave diet. And we were able to change it into what we call soul food because it was the only food that we had. So we had to do with what we had to do with. But even when I read those older books talking about diet and nutrition, they talk about this worm called a trichini worm that's only found in marmots, hogs, and offal of pigs. And this worm lives through everything. You can't kill it with heat. You can't freeze it. And it's found in pork. And as you know, the pig doesn't have any veins, so it can live with these worms and what have you. A snake can bite a pig and it does nothing. And so this is what our diet consisted of. And we always, you know, talk about what we eat and how it is affecting us. But let me give you one standout point here. It might answer a lot of questions for a lot of people. When they show us the pictures of starving children.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay, excuse me.
Go ahead. I was going to say we're going to go to commercial, and we want you to hold your point. We're going to go to commercial and give the audience a chance to get in the chat room, and we're going to come back to you if you'll hold that point. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere, and we're going to ask Mr. Bediako to hold that point because we're getting ready to get on top of something, and we want to stop and do our prayer. So hold tight. I want to take you to Carolina for 1 minute, and we'll be right back at you, and we'll be ready for prayer.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got that rhythm.
I'm gone.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone.
Come on.
I'm gone.
Come on.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is nearing the end of African American History Month. And as you know, we are looking at our heroes and sheroes, and we're talking about what they did on this day. And there was a lot of talk about musicians living high on the hog, and just as Mr. Bediako talked about, these positions that the musicians that live in parts of New York and they perform in areas like such as nightclubs throughout the area during the time that we had excellent artists and linguistics, scientists functioning throughout the continent performing and even Sleepy Part Harlow where you had the various different unions that were forming. I don't want you to forget about those strong union fighters and how they formed the Sleepy Part Hollow, and they created those jobs during the Depression time for us. So we definitely don't want to forget about those particular people. So today we're talking about our diet and how our diet could be killing us, how it could be forming those diseases such as bipolar disorder, mental health, and causing a deficiency of our minerals and trace minerals. A large portion of us are deficient in the choline, and choline causes a great depression condition. And we also know that lecithin is also great for the body, which we're getting very little of. We're going to be speaking on lecithin as well. So we're eating all of the parts of the pig, and we're not eating high on the hog, but we're eating the rudders and tooters, and we're eating the gut. We are finding ourselves being plagued with a number of different diseases, such as Mr. Bediako talked about, that worm that no one can seem to lay their hands on that lives in the intestines of some of us human beings. And as we eat of the pig, we acquire the same diseases that the pig picks up. So therein lies a great problem that we're experiencing. So we're going to have Mr. Bediako come back on, but before that, we want to raise the roof in this room by acknowledging our higher selves and offering a prayer to Oludulamare and by acknowledging our ancestors, and we do not leave that to someone else to do. We acknowledge it because we know we are just a but by the grace of God. So I'm going to go over to the throne of grace, and I'm going to ask you to position yourself for prayer. If you will position yourself for prayer with your hands up in the air as if you're about to receive. And I'm also going to ask if there's anyone in the audience that would like to call out an ancestor that might have transitioned, or if you have a hero or shero you would like to mention. And then I'm going to ask Mr. Bediako if he would also like to give us a prayer as well. So if you're positioning for the power of prayer, we have been talking about affirmations in this room and how it's just as good to meditate as it is to pray. So this is a form of speaking to God, listening to what God has to say to us as we use his words as affirmations to speak back to him. So So positioning ourselves for prayer, we're just asking that this room be permeated with the Spirit. We're just welcoming the Spirit in and asking the Spirit if there be any wicked ways within us to change it. And we oftentimes need to ask God to change our attitude, to change our condition. Sometimes we think ourselves to be right when we're dead wrong because we can't see our error. So, Lord, we ask you to look inside our hearts today. If there be any wicked way, cleanse us of that wicked way. And ask the Lord to periodically change you, because it's nothing wrong with making that change. Now, we're going to ask the Creator if he will begin to set our path. Give us direction for our life, Lord. Show us the way we should go. And give us aim and purpose as we look upon another Black History Month. Do not let us perish for a lack of better understanding of our diet. Help us to be able to acknowledge that what was once good for us might now be killing us, and that we can make the change. And as we make that change, Father, help us to see the light and understand that now that we know better, we can do better. We ask that you would come in and touch every household that's present today and give them the desires of their heart. And we say to God, be the glory. I pour libation to the east, and I say Ashe, to Oladulamare, who is a higher force in this earth. I pour libation to Obatala, the man in white, who is the father of all the Orishas. I pour libation to the east for Yaminye, the mother of the oceans, the rivers, and the streams. I pour libation. I pour libation to the south, and I say we're welcoming all of the ancestors that are traveling through the Middle Passage, and we ask them to come through that door of no return. And if they're in the miry clay, we ask them to come and to complete the circle so that we can stand on their shoulders. I call on our ancestors because they're the sum total of why we came here. We call on Shekez Diop, and we call on Nina Simone. We call on Louis Armstrong. We call on Dr. Martin Luther King and Sweet Coretta King. We call on Dr. Carruthers, and we ask that Joe Lewis allow us to stand with him as he knocks out oppression. And we ask that all of these ancestors, may they complete the greater circle, and may they continue to show us how to be better individuals and how to unite as one. And we thank you for all that is being done here today, and for those things that will be seen and unseen. And for those who are not here, we stand in the gap for them. And those unborn babies who are not yet here, who are yet on their way, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them. And we say amen. And Brother B, I thought if you would give us a prayer, please.
Okay, about a prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. The mind of God guides me. The life of God flows through me. The laws of God direct me. The power of God abides in me. The joy of God uplifts me. The strength of God renews me. The beauty of God inspires me. And wherever I am, God is. And all is well. Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, find affirmations that you can repeat periodically throughout the day. For those of you who lack faith, these are faith-building mechanisms that we're demonstrating for you today. As we pray out loud and not to ourselves, we're teaching you in what manner you should pray. And as Jesus told us, in like manner, to pray likewise in the manner that he taught us, and we as African Americans need to learn pray from our spirit, not just from a recited scripture that we pull out, but pray in our moanings and groanings, because in our moanings and groanings, when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, and that we don't know to pray for, he prays for that in our utterance. So as we begin to understand bit by bit, line upon line, precept upon precept, then we become free. Our whole objective for living righteous is because it will allow us to have less repercussions in our life. Some think that being good is it's just something that we do ordinarily, but we are avoiding consequences. We know that the consequences in this world can be great ones, and they can be afflicting and affect our whole family. So therefore, we live righteous, because the Bible says that Jesus taught us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, is there anyone holy here? No. We are as filthy as rags, and our hearts are desperately wicked, and who could know this? We are still striving to kill the old man. This flesh must die. And just as Dr. Clark says, every morning when he wakes up, he has to say, "Good morning, cartridge. The enemy must die." I say the flesh must die. So stop feeding it. Kill the flesh. Subject the flesh to sacrifice. Sacrifice the flesh every day. And as you kill the old man, the spirit will rise. Flesh is natural. Spirit is eternal. And that's what we're trying to kill off, is the flesh. So let's kill off the flesh today as we learn the proper foods to ingest within our bodies. So join us in this discussion, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going to go back to Mr. Bediako. He was telling us about that worm that no one can seem to find in the pig. Mr. Bediako, can you pick up on that topic for us again? Thank you, please.
Okay, yeah, I was doing some research on my daughter was born and her soft spot didn't close up in her head. And so I had an auntie who was a school teacher from way back in the 40s and picked up one of her books. And to my surprise, there was a section on nutrition. And what they talked about briefly was this worm, Trichini worm that can't be killed. Way back in the 30s and 40s, they was teaching this in school. And of course, they took it out of the school books because now, you know, pork is a big. If we look at the pictures that we see of starving children around the world, and we will see the symptoms of a starving child, or malnourished, or for lack of a better term, is it starvation, starving, what's what I'm trying to say, famished. You would notice the symptoms as a pot belly and a bald head. You know, there are pop eyes popping out, and their bellies are big, and the heads are bald. Am I correct? You know the image I'm talking about for starving children and around the world?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, just take a look at any business, look at any city. Look at New York, Atlanta, Detroit, Chicago, and look at the businessmen in their suits. Or just look at your friends and your spouses. And you will be amazed that you see these same symptoms with a pot belly and a bald head. And so if these are the symptoms of starvation, how is it that we're eating 2 and 3 meals a day and we still have these symptoms of a swollen belly and a bald head? And the answer to that question is that we're not being nourished. We are still, with all the food that we're eating, we're not getting the nourishment that we need for the proper life, if you will.
Well, I agree with you on that, Bediako, because we are looking at a number of conditions where our children are literally in America and they're starving to death because we have empty calories of food that we're consuming that doesn't have any nutritional value to it whatsoever. So, and likewise, as we eat the so-called soul food, we're finding that it does have some substance to it, unfortunately, but it does make you fat at the same time. So how do you alleviate the fat while gaining the substance? Because there was a time when our parents didn't give us vitamins, we actually got our vitamins from the foods we ate. Now foods are depreciated of the zinc. There's no zinc in the food and the actual plants that are grown. The soil is deficient in zinc. So we're finding that even though you may pull these vegetables from the ground is depleted of the necessary minerals. So you're looking at a depleted type of vegetable, and people who buy them from the store have no idea that they're depleted of these various different minerals.
Yeah, well, exactly. Not only is the soil depleted, but now the seeds are being genetically modified. And we talk about vitamins, and you did mention zinc, but where did you get minerals? See, this doesn't do any good just to have vitamins and
Well, you're right.
In your body. It's just like spark plugs if you didn't have the ignition, or if you didn't, in the older days they had points. They didn't have electronic points.
Mm-hmm. Well, you cannot live without minerals and trace minerals, but you can live without the vitamins. There's no way you can have a deficiency of vitamins, because all of the foods carry vitamins at some degree, but your minerals and trace minerals are deficient. Those are the things that they specifically have to make sure that in the plants, that it's within the seed. And now Monsanto is seeing to it that they produce seeds that they produce these seeds that don't reproduce themselves, so you have no roots, and those seeds don't like annual flowers, they don't reproduce themselves. So in essence, we are dealing with inferior seeds as well. So let's get back to the topic of the diets of the African American and the foods that came off the slave master's table. Let's remember back when the slave masters invited us up to the big house, and we were not allowed to sit at the tables to eat with them, to dine with them, but periodically they did give the head matrons food to take over to their cabin. So sometimes we did, during holidays, every once in a while, get a decent course of food. But we were chefs and we were maitres d's who knew how to prepare the food. So we knew which parts of the food would carry the most minerals and protein, such as you talked about the hooves. In the hooves, most of your trace minerals is deposit. So they knew that even though they soaked that hoof in water to use it for the broth for the food, we were getting our trace minerals that way. Some of them didn't realize that we had enough scientific background to understand how to pull our vitamins and our minerals from the so-called scraps that they were giving us.
Well, that might be the case, but we also have another element in there that's really taking us to task, and that's the cholesterol, the buildup in our arteries and our blood from the fat cells that and globules that we intake, and then along with milk, we are ingesting animal milk. And even grown people drinking milk, and our bodies are not made for that. So you mentioned something at the start of the program about the knife and the fork. And what we were taught is that the knife and the fork is to replace the claws that we don't have. For instance, if you look at meat-eating animals, they are born with claws, and they have sharp teeth to tear flesh. If you look at the herb-eating animals, their teeth are more like ours. They are flat. They're like mashers, a couple of cuspids, but nothing like, you know, the meat-eating animals. And then you look a little further at the physiological makeup of the herb-eating animals. They have long intestines like we do. Our intestines is almost 30 feet long. I mean, the foods have to travel through 30 feet before it's, you know, easily eliminated. Whereas your meat-eating animals, they have short digestive tracts, like your lions and your tigers. You know, they eat it, they go right to their stomach. So if you look at us, the way that we are made up, we're not made up on a, you know, physiologically to really ingest meat. So now we have the knife and the fork to cut this meat up for us and to tear it for us and, you know, act like we have claws. But as you mentioned something about the ingenious in us, how we were able to take these guts or trash that they call themselves, just making a fool out of us, throwing it to us, we were able to make this into a dinner. We also knew that it was proper to eat with our hands. And if you ever go, you know, eat greens and cornbread at somebody's house, especially people from the South, you would notice that they eat it with their hands. Well, come to find out, this is the first stage of digestion, is your hands. Your hands prepares your food for proper digestion to go into your mouth. Well, that is taken away by the knife and the fork once again. So now we see American health record compared to the rest of the world. It's pitiful. And not only is the health record pitiful, but the doctor's medicine is ranking 130th on the list. So we're in a bad way here as far as our diet goes. So let's maybe talk about how to replace this. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say that as you look around the world and the third world countries, those countries that were known to have complete balanced diet with their 23 amino acids and their enzymes, you're only born with so many enzymes, they have to be replaced. They just don't recreate themselves. Part of our digestive problem is we are not ingesting the enzymes that we need to cause the digestion to start, as you mentioned, with the using of the fingers. Children have enough sense to know that their fingers have some digestive enzymes in there, so that process starts with the fingers, as you said. However, as grown-ups get older, we're finding that the foods that we're eating now, because we are not including enough enzymes in there, which would be the vegetables, and we're not including whole foods in our diet. We go and purchase things that are pre-boxed and that are not considered as natural. We have more stuff that is pre-prepared for us, so you have to have shelf life, so they put a lot of chemicals to maintain the shelf life. So you're getting empty calories once again. But what I want to point out to you is that we're missing grains. And one of the things that Africans did consume a large portion of is grains. And most of their diet was highly made of grains. And they have now discovered that there's ways you can take that grain and make a meat substance and have it as a replacement for meat. And some of the women are still making those meat replacements. Just like you can go and pick up Morningstar, it is a meat substitute and it's not a real meat made from animal flesh, but from grains. If we could get more into the grains, and here lies what I want to bring you to your attention, we ought to be looking at co-ops. There are people all over the world that are now engaging themselves in co-ops. And in those co-ops, they are stocking their shelves with grains, peanuts, all the nuts category, because nuts can be used as meat as well, but they have to be soaked and they have to be placable so that you can spread them like pliable butter. And they can be substituted as if they're meat. So a large portion of us know this, but we get so wrapped up in our cumbersome day-to-day lifestyle that we don't take the time to create things like kefir. Kefir is a form of sour milk that you can actually take the time to make. When we came from Africa, there was no need for milk because we didn't have the animals that produced milk, so we never produced the enzyme to digest it. However, they did have the goats. That's why a lot of African Americans are conducive to drinking goat's milk. My children drank goat's milk when it was coming up because I found out the goat's milk was a lot, it was placable like the colostrum in the mother's milk. There are very few mothers that are breastfeeding today, even the so-called intelligent women. I breastfed for 3 years because I realized what the colostrum would do for the child and what it would also do for your body. So we also need to get more into breastfeeding mothers. When I say we ought to start talking about having our co-ops, that means people around the world, if you're starving and you don't have food stamps, create co-ops so that you can have large sums of nuts and grains and substances that are going to keep you alive. Truly, you could live off grains, and grains can complete your 23 amino acids, covering all the amino acids that you need to replace the meat. So let's talk about how do we get this stuff out of our diet, such as dead flesh. How do we remove it? We can't get off the flesh. Everybody's got to have a steak. I can't let my pork go. How do we get rid of the flesh and replace it? How do we do that, B.M.?
Well, you can replace it with several items. Just to retract a little bit, we were talking about minerals. And the place where you get the minerals from is from herbs. And we never include any herbs in our diet. You know, we just, you know, don't. You know, we are just caught up in this an American, diet, and we just don't. And one way to clean out your intestines is to use what people down south used to use. They used to eat this red clay. Well, now you can get liquid. It's called liquid bentonite. And this liquid bentonite is very palatable. It doesn't have any taste. You just take a tablespoon a day, put it in your food or your water, or you can just drink it with juice or whatever, and it starts to pull the negative ions out of your colon. And the molecules of clay are smaller than the molecules of water. So it gets up into the colon where you it can break up some of this fecal matter that's in your colon. We found out that this fecal matter can be in your colon up to 20 or 30 years. And these worms that we mentioned earlier could grow up to 6 feet long inside your intestines. It's just incredible, you know, what's happening. So your colon becomes like a sewage, if you will. You know, just think about having a garbage can and never emptying it, you know, and how it festers and it starts to smell and starts to stink. Well, you see that when you go to the bathroom, you know, it smells like somebody then died in there, you know, and you shouldn't smell that way. So you have to clean your insides once in a while and either use an intestinal cleanser or get a colonic or something like that. So that's one way to start. And then you can prepare your foods out of other things, like you mentioned earlier about grains. The Hebrew Israelites, they make a wonderful steak called kale bone, they used to call it. But we used to drive over to Chicago to the restaurant over there, Soul Veg over on 79th Street. And they have two or three products in there that they would make either from wheat or from tofu or from soy, several products that you can make to replace such